What a wonderful thought. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, he's coming for me. He's coming for you too if you're saved. Harold Lane wrote that song. He passed away this year and wrote many wonderful songs. And was a fine man. All that I knew of him, sang with the Spear family for many years. And edited songbooks and so forth. But the next time he comes, when we started singing that, made my heart just kind of jump. The tears filled my eyes. Wasn't able to read a couple of words in there. But I'm just thankful that I know that I'm going to be among those that are caught up together with the Lord, be with him forever. The Bible says to comfort you one another with these words, that we can be assured of a better time yet to come. I'm so thankful for the way the Lord blessed us last Sunday in the service here, and it was certainly food for my soul, and I know it was for you, and I appreciate your willingness to follow the Lord, because you know that's what we have to do. If we follow him, we'll not go wrong, and the service will be just what he wants it to be. And if it's what he wants it to be, then he will bless us for doing his will. And I appreciate the church and for the way that the service went last week. And God just blessed us in a wonderful, wonderful way. I have a card that I want to read. A thank you. Two small words for such a big feeling. Your kindness really makes a difference. Your thoughtfulness really touched my heart. The gratitude I feel really can't be put into words. Ruth and E.W. Hassel. And then she wrote, the flowers were beautiful. Your visits to the funeral home were appreciated so much. And we appreciate Sister Ruth being able to be with us today. And it's always good to see God's people able to assemble in the house of the Lord. And we understand that there are reasons that are acceptable, at least they're acceptable to me, and we always tell people they just have to work it out with the Lord as whether they're acceptable to him. But I'm thankful for the privilege of being in the house of God whenever that we can. Two or three things I want to mention. It was pointed out to us as we got, well, in fact, we noticed it as we was pulling up. We got the new shrubs out front and been reworked a little out there. Looks real nice. And when a little grass grows up or whatever we're going to do where the hay is now, I'm sure that it's going to look really nice. And I appreciate the church getting that done, or whoever is responsible for it anyway. In the entry way, there was a beautiful arrangement of flowers. I was asked to bring those to the church from the wedding that I had yesterday with my grandniece. And she married Brandon Flowers, and her name is Jenna Preston. And so we appreciate them sending flowers to the church, and hope that you enjoy them out there as you see them, for however long they might stay. Well, might not be a week, but anyway, I appreciate them doing that. And I'd ask your prayers for them as they start their life out together. And as I told you last week or week before last now, I lost track of it somewhere in there, that a couple to 3 weeks ago, Brandon got saved, and we're so thankful for that, them starting their life out. He thought that he was okay based on what he knew previous to that, but we're thankful that he came to a saving knowledge of the Lord. Also out on the front, I got some new business cards for me to use at church, and so I put a little holder out there, and if you'd like to pick up one, feel free to on that. And They'll just be there to distribute as we can, and I got plenty of them, so we can distribute a lot of them. A couple of brief announcements I'll make, and October the 20th, which will be in 2 weeks, Hendersonville Missionary Baptist Church is having a homecoming service, and they're having singing in the afternoon at 1:30 with the Mid-State Quartet. They are very, very fine folks and wonderful singers. Were encouraged many years ago to become professional singers, but they always wanted to be at their home church and sing there and just sing locally, and that's all they wanted to do. But they're wonderful people. I've known them for many years, and Lord willing, if it works out, we'll try to go over there for the singing part anyway in the afternoon. But I wanted to make that announcement. And also, Victory Missionary Baptist Church is having their second annual men's conference. It'll be on November the 1st and 2nd. So I've got a flyer that we'll put out front so that you can see that and get Brother Billy Moran, Chris Jones, and Lynn Staple. And we'll be speaking one on Friday night, two on Saturday, with meals provided for those. And so you can look at that, and some of you may have interest in being able to go and attend either Friday night and or Saturday. Good to see Brother Virgil here today. I talked to him earlier in the week, and he had indicated he was going to try to come, thought he was going to be coming in a wheelchair, and he just walked right in. And I was so pleased to see that. And good to have him back with us. He still has some issues that he has to deal with, but he's making steps of progress, and we're thankful for that. And we ask that you continue to pray for him for a better recovery, and that he'll be able to maintain attendance in church. And I know he wants to be here, and we certainly need him here. Sister Rhoda Kemp had a little spell this week, and I happened to be at the where she lives there at the assisted living facility just when they was loading her up in the ambulance. And fortunately, it turned out not to be anything very serious, and she's back now going about her business. And so, but we'd ask you to continue to remember her in prayer. It's my understanding she's the oldest living member that we have in the church. And we need to be supportive of her in our prayers, since she's away from us in Lafayette, and I can go by and see her some and give her a heads up on what's happening in church a little bit. And I know that she's getting information anyway, but I'll be looking forward to kind of keeping up with her and letting her keep up with us. And so let's pray for her. Also, Sister Virginia Clemens was just surprised by her the results anyway. They had they did an angiogram and ended up putting two stents in her, and then turned around and sent her home the next day. She's doing great, and we are thankful for that. Just pray for her. Hopefully she'll be able to be back with us next Sunday. Continue to remember her in your prayers. Linda asked prayer in Sunday school for a friend of ours, Sister Carolyn Mandrell. I always want to call her Barbara Mandrell, but she's Carolyn Mandrell. She has a beautiful singing voice herself, but we've known her for quite a number of years, and I see her on a pretty regular basis, and she's going to be having some surgery on her neck. She has some blockages in her neck, and so she had wanted us to pray for her, and appreciate you doing that also. That's all that I have written down. There may have been some other requests. I think there was one made that I was unable to hear this morning, but we'll certainly open it up for any other requests that you might have before we go to the Lord in prayer.
I'd like to say just a word.
Sure.
Thank the Lord for saving my soul. But you don't know how good it felt to be able to go to work once again and see y'all. Now, I appreciate y'all's call. God, and that is my will to follow you, pray. So the grace of God, I'm still here.
Amen.
Very
Amen. All right, we're sure, glad you're still here too. From the human standpoint, you know, anytime that the Lord decides to take us, if we're saved, we're going to be in better condition than we were before. But this natural man wants to stay here as long as we can. And if we can stay here and still be of service to the Lord, then, you know, what better thing is there for us to do until the Lord decides it's time for us to enter in eternity? Anything else before we pray? If not, then let us approach the Lord in prayer. I need your prayers, as always, as we try to speak. And I trust that the Lord will meet with us, open our hearts to Him, let Him know what we have need of, thanksgiving toward Him, and just open ourselves up to be used by Him today for this service. Cindy's request. Anything else? If not, then let us approach the Lord in prayer. Brother Quinn, would you lead us in prayer?
Their hearts might be made to realize that they Oh God, as we bow before you, we are thankful for Brother Burge for being able to be back in church here. And we have come to know that he loves the church and loves being here so much. And Lord, it's such a wonderful thing to be with people that love you and love fellowship with your people. And Lord, as we gather here today, we pray that you'd hear our prayers and requests that have been made. We might not be able to call them all by mind, but you know in our hearts each one. We pray for Sister Carolyn to be having surgery. Lord, that might go well with her, that she can recuperate quickly, be about her business. We pray, Lord, for Sister Virginia, that she might be strengthened and be back with us next week to be your will. We're thankful that the doctor found the difficulty of his hand table in a matter of way to take care of it. Lord, we pray for Sister Kim, as she advances in age, that she still has enough mind to be able to fellowship with those around her and to be able to share her testimony of grace. Lord, as we bow before you, we pray for others you bind us to pray for. Those requests might have been made of. We pray for Sister Cindy's request, Lord, that you'd help her as she guides in the Christmas program. And that you'd give her and those that would not participate guidance for the right things to do, that it would be meaningful to the church family as well as those who come in among us. We pray, Lord, for Sister Cindy as she conducts the ladies' fellowship meeting. Lord, that you would move her heart to find the right words to say, and that she might be willing to submit herself to you. That it would be helpful to encourage the wives and the ladies that would gather. Lord, we pray that you would just be with her in that. We ask God that as we bow here, that it's not worthy of service, you might hear our prayers and attend to those things that we have need of. Lord, that we might be able to use that which you've given us. And however limited capacity it might be, but Lord, that we use it to the best of our abilities to lift up the name of Jesus. God, guide us in the things that are said. Bless the singing, bless the offerings, bless each thing that's done in the service today, that we bring honor and glory unto you. Lord, bless those that are on the mission fields, those that are traveling in mission areas, those that are laboring in difficult situations. Lord, bless our brothers in the ministry, wherever they might be. Lord, we ask that you just take us in your love and kind care, wrap us up in your great big heart of love. We can feel that peace and sweetness of your presence in our service today. Which is Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One more.
We're on page number 50.
Thank you.
wonderful, wonderful day that will be. Again, I ask your prayers as we try to speak for a few moments. Relying upon the Lord to give us direction. If you'd like to be turning in your Bibles to the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27. I'm not going to read the whole account of what's taking place here, just a short portion of it. The Apostle Paul was being transported to Rome. He's going by ship. I believe he had thought that when he went to Rome, it would be an overland journey, as his other missionary trips had been for the most part. But things went differently than he had originally thought they might. Rather than having to make his way there, he got arrested and got sent there because that he had brought objection to his circumstance, and it kept going up through the court system, and finally he got an appeal to Caesar and was sent to Rome. Well, on the trip, there was a little problem arose. He told the captain, he says, we better not sail right now. And of course, the captain, being the seaman that he was, thought everything would be fine. But Paul wasn't the seaman. He just was following the Lord. And the captain, of course, didn't listen to what Paul had to say. And so they took off and ran into some big problems. And we want to read just a portion of this, in starting in the 21st verse. The 27th chapter of Acts. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. In other words, I told you so. You should have hearkened unto me. And not have loosed from Crete. And to have gained this harm and loss. They was in a big storm. It was apparent that they were going to be shipwrecked. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of this ship. They said the ship's going to be lost. All the goods on it's going to be gone. But he says there's not going to be any lives that will be lost. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believed God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. I'm going to stop my reading there with any reading mistakes. Just the 21st through the 26th verses of 27th chapter of Acts. I wanted to use this as a basis for thought. Paul had been praying, as he did regularly. And even though that the captain had disobeyed God by disobeying Paul's recommendation to him based on what God had already told him, that God was going to take the ship from them, but he's going to spare all the lives. And when you first read it, or at least when I first read it many years ago, I guess, I thought it was a little strange that he says, be of good cheer. Hey, you're going to lose a ship, you're going to lose all your goods, everything's going to get gone. But the good cheer was that nobody's going to lose their life. You know, things happen to us in life and we mourn the loss of something. We have a car wreck and our car gets totaled. We mourn the loss and hopefully we've got insurance to replace it. You know, the house burns down and all the memorabilia and the furniture and everything in it. And we mourn that loss because it's a a loss of possessions to us. And many times people are weeping over the loss and not being thankful over the fact that they weren't taken in the car wreck or in the house burning down or whatever it might be. And so here he was saying, just be of good cheer, because we're going to be shipwrecked, we're going to be out in the water, we're going to have to get something to float on, and we're going to, but we're going to be safe. We're going to this island, and we're going to be safe. So he was giving them hope that even in the face of the danger that they were in, that everything would be okay. Now, I'm sure that this didn't probably bring a whole lot of cheer to them, because they still didn't know who this God was that Paul served. So he was just trying to give them encouragement. He said, based upon what God has told me, you're not going to lose your life. They're still afraid. They still was going to have to go through the shipwreck. All the things that Paul had told them about was going to come to pass, and all that the ship's crew could do couldn't save the ship. So one thing, though, that stands out to me, and it's what we want to think about this morning, is that Paul begins to tell them about the angel that stood beside him and gave him this message. And he made a very declarative statement here. He said, "For I believe God." Now, they didn't have to believe God. God had already told Paul, and God was going to fulfill what God had told him. But he was making the statement that they might at least look at a glimmer of hope that this God that Paul served and talked about was true to his word. And so he said, "I believe God." And that's something that all of us need to have a firm grasp of. Now, I realize that most of us do have a belief in God. If we were saved, we had a belief in God to the saving of our soul, that we totally was willing to trust him with our soul and our life, and we gave ourselves to him in repentance and having faith in him, and he saved our soul. And the Bible tells us that his love is shed abroad in our heart. So it completely fills our heart, and the Holy Spirit seals our heart. That love is there. The faith that we had to get that position of salvation is there. So we have that degree of faith, which is the greatest faith in one sense of the word of faith that we could possibly have. However, because that we're still in this human form, and we still have various things that happen in life and circumstances that come about in our life and situations that come upon us and we have to deal with, sometimes because we can't see the future, we're just looking at the circumstances of the present, and we have difficulty understanding how something good can come from it. Again, we should remind ourselves regularly that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. And so even though something looks bad to us and isn't certainly what we had anticipated in life, that God will take that and use that to benefit us in some way. Sometimes the loss of a loved one, sometimes the loss of property, sometimes just be putting in a situation where you don't know where the next meal's coming from. But God has a way of taking those circumstances, and when we are faithful to him, that he brings about something that we can look back on later and understand that God had a better grasp of this and a bigger picture that he was seeing than what we could see. And therefore, we find that he was true to what he had promised us of always being with us, never forsaking us. And so sometimes, though, in our human nature, and we're looking to see how something is going to work, we don't take time to realize that God is still in control. And we need to have the kind of belief that Paul had here, that I believe God. God said that we're going to be saved, so I believe him. God has given us promises from his word and in our heart at times. And most of the time that we'll take that and well, yes, I believe it. But when we don't see it coming about just as we think it ought to, then our faith wavers a little bit. Much like it was with Peter when he walked out on the sea. I said, "Lord, if it's you, just call me and I'll come to you." And he said, "Well, come on, Peter." And he jumped out right there on the waves, and he just trotted right along. I don't know how many steps he took. Probably wasn't very many. But he got enough away from the ship, he couldn't reach back and hold on to the ship. And then he noticed the waves coming up. And they was rolling around, and he started paying attention to them. And in his thinking, No doubt, because of the human nature of understanding that you're not supposed to be able to walk on water, and all this wind is blowing, these waves are lapping here above the ship and over me, and all of it, you know, I'm supposed to sink. And so he started to sink. Jesus was still there, no doubt just shaking his head and said, "All right, Peter." Yeah. Of course, then Peter starts calling out to him, "Lord, save me." He wasn't talking about his soul, he was talking about his life. And he was relying on God, but I'm not sure that he even believed that the Lord would save his life then. But then, of course, Jesus took care of the situation, and Peter's focus went back to Jesus instead of the troubles that was around him. And this is what happens to us many times in life, and maybe far less serious circumstances, but sometimes just as serious as far as we're concerned. But that there are times in life that we don't see how the Lord's going to pull this off. You know, and that's because in our human limitations, we're not sure just how physically something can happen or occur. And so we have a tendency to grow a little weak in our faith and start to not believe that God's going to take care of it. Even though in the back of our mind we say, "Well, I believe God's going to take care of it, but Lord, how are you going to do it? Because I just don't see a way this is going to happen." And then all of a sudden, the Lord provides something that we hadn't even thought about, that we hadn't considered, that we didn't even know about, to take care of the circumstances for us. But Paul was here saying, "I believe God." He said, "We're not going to lose a life. And so we're going to make it safe to this island." And then, of course, there were things that were going to happen on the island. But I want us to just think about that, of how strong is our belief in God and what he has said concerning us, and how that we live and conduct ourselves. Going back to the writing of Moses in the book of Numbers, in the 23rd chapter, the 19th verse. I'm not going to talk about the situation around it, but just want to get the point that he's making here. God is not a man that he should lie. Now, men lie. You know, babes come forth speaking lies, the Bible tells us. And people unintentionally sometimes lie. Or sometimes we manufacture and try to make things look better than they are, and we lie. There are times that people lie. And none of us really likes a liar, don't like to be lied to. And we don't intend to lie, but sometimes it just comes out because of our circumstance. And we're thinking, "Well, it'd be better if I tell it this way," and we don't tell something exactly the way it should be. But he said, "God's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man." Now, notice here, he's already talking about the Son of Man. He's talking about Jesus here. "But neither the Son of Man that he should repent." Jesus never had to repent for anything because he didn't sin. He said, now, he doesn't have that problem, but we in the flesh, we're a different story. But he said, "Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it?" In other words, has God said something and he's not going to do it? He said he wouldn't lie. New Testament, we're told that God cannot lie. You know, because that he is truth, and his position of perfectness does not allow him to lie. It makes it an impossibility for him to lie. What he speaks is truth. So he said, if he says it, will he not do it? "Or hath he spoken and shall not be, or shall not make it good?" In other words, is he not going to do exactly what he said that he would do? Now, how many times, and I'm terrible about this, I will make a commitment to something, or at least I intend to commit to it, that, well, I'll be here, I'll be there, and then something happens and I don't get to go. You know, and I didn't intend for it to happen that way, but it just happens sometimes. But God is not that way. If he says he's going to do something, he does it. There's nothing can stand in his way. Paul was just saying that I believe God, this is not going to stand in God's way. Don't care how bad the sea gets, don't matter how bad the winds are, God is going to destroy the ship here in the water, but he's going to get every one of us safely to shore. So he believed God because that God said it. And we need to remember that in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and the 20th verse. "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Now he said, if you believe in God, then he's going to establish you. If you believe his prophets, the men of God that was bringing the message of God to the people, then he's going to prosper you. We sometimes look around and we misunderstand prosper sometimes, because a lot of times, and there's what's referred to as the prosperity gospel, and, you know, people talking about, well, if you just do this and you give this and you do it, you know, God's going to pour all these blessings on you, and he's going to give you a big house, and he's going to give you big cars, and he's going to, you know, provide all these things for you. And that's well and good, and some people get that, and it's a blessing from God to have it. But that's not the prosperity that he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual prosperity. Now, there might be things that benefit us in life, but they're still God's that he just gives us, let us use for a while. And he gives them usually to people that have the capability of using them properly. Because if people that do not have the character, the integrity, or the will of God working in their life to use things properly, it'll draw them away from the Lord instead of it being just something that they can praise God for and use it in an appropriate manner. But the fact that God has promised us prosperity, not again the physical prosperity, but spiritual prosperity. And what greater gift to have is to be satisfied in the condition that we're in spiritually. As Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, whether I'm abound, in other words, I've got a lot, or I'm abased, I don't have much. He said, I'm content with that. Not that we shouldn't work and try to provide for our families and provide the finances that we need to help others and to give and whatever. But the fact is that whatever our circumstance at that moment, we should be spiritually content in that. We can strive for better things. We can strive to improve things. But we need to always do that within the will of the Lord. Because some people find it much better to be poor and happy than to be rich and miserable. And most of us would agree with that. Now, of course, different people look at it different ways and the way that it comes about. But I remember something, an impression on me as I was growing up, and my father had a general merchandise store, and I'm working there and being there off and on. And I'd hear the older guys come in and old farmers, and they'd talk. And I remember in the 60s when President Johnson started his war on poverty, as it was referred to, and they started making indexes of what people made, and if you made this much money, you was in this classification of people, you made this much or this little, this using this other, and I'd hear these farmers come in all the time and say, well, I didn't know I was poor until they told me. They raise their food, and they women come in and buy some material, and they make their clothes, and they get along just fine. You know, until all of a sudden the government starts saying, well, if you don't make at least this much amount of money, you're poor. And we still have that going on now. Matter of fact, that was the start of, maybe not the start, but that was a big push of entitlements that a lot of people are starting to expect the government to give to them because that they're in a lesser classification in the sight of the government, and therefore have put them down and made them feel like that there was something less than what they were. It's not the possessions that we have that makes us wealthy, but it's the relationship we have with God and with our fellow man that we can interact and enjoy ourselves, and especially if we have a spiritual base on which to do that. And then if things go well for us and we've got a lot, then that's well and good. Praise the Lord for it. If we don't, we still have the Lord, and he will see us through. And as the psalm said, that he's never seen his people begging bread. You know, we don't, that doesn't mean somebody don't get hungry sometimes. But what it does mean is that God, in whatever the circumstance, is going to be with us. Even if death comes upon him, if a person starves to death because they don't have food, God is still with them, and he'll just take them on to glory. And they'll never have a lack in that position. But anyway, if God has said he's going to do something, he'll do that. And if we rely upon him and we believe God, then he's going to take care of the situation that will best meet the circumstances that will enrich his message in this world. And that's what we as God's children should want to do, is to pass things on to others that they might gain from it, that souls might be saved, that God's people might multiply and be strengthened and encouraged in the service of God. If you'll recall, I believe it's in Luke's account of the gospel, and somewhere along the 7th chapter, that the apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith. He said, well, you know, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, then you could say to this sycamine tree, remove thyself and be planted in the ocean, and it would. And so he was pointing out to them, said, you know, your faith is not the question as to how much it is. Just, if you've got the faith, if you can be as Paul was at that time and says, I believe God, then he said, nothing is impossible for us. Now, that doesn't mean that a literal mountain is going to be moved, but it can be moved. God can provide ways of doing that. It might be, you know, through human means in some way or another, but it can be done if it takes that in order for God's purpose to be met in our lives. But it's up to us to have the faith and the belief that God will take care of every circumstance that comes our way. In the writing of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, he wrote in the 4th chapter, in the 20th verse, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So again, here is a relationship of a man with God, believing that God would perform that which he has promised to do. I've heard many people say that, well, I believe God will save my children because he has revealed that to my heart. Now, you know, we should have that belief, but that doesn't mean that we're not to keep telling our children about the Lord, and that they need to seek him until they get saved, and to keep doing that, because that promise that we feel in our heart that God gives us is not going to be based on us sitting back and just letting him do it, but it's going to be based on us doing what we need to do to point those people. It might be a husband or a wife, it might be that child, it might be a friend, whatever, but we have to do our job in pointing Jesus to them. But God is faithful. He will save them when they meet the conditions of repentance and faith, just like he did with us. But when we feel that God has promised us something, and as long as it's not just our thinking, but it's really something that God gives to our heart, then we need to believe that. Because if we come up short in our belief, then it may not get fulfilled to our eyes anyway. If God says he's going to do it, he'll get it done at some point. But we need to believe that God will, not to give up on him. One example that I've used numbers of times, just a little over a year ago, when we went to Buffalo Springs and joined there, there's a lady that got up every service that she was there, and she would, with tears in her eyes, ask people to pray for her father. He was in his early 80s, and he was in bad health, but he hadn't been saved. And it wasn't just a casual request, but I mean, it was an earnest request. And every time, and that just really impressed my heart, because she believed he was going to get saved. And yet the time was coming. The church decided to go and have a prayer meeting at his house. They went outside the house and had a prayer meeting on a Saturday. And the next Monday, he got saved. And the next Thursday, he died. But she was so believing God that her father was going to get saved. And then it happened that short of a time before he passed into eternity. But he left the testimony, and he said he just kept talking about what the Lord had done for him. He'd gone to church as a young boy, but then just got away from it, never had sought the Lord, or if he had, hadn't gotten saved. And they say he lived a good life, a nice person, and all that, but he wasn't saved. But she had that belief that God was going to save him, before he died. Not just a hope, but she really believed. And God did. I don't know that he ever promised her, but she believed God that he was going to take care of her daddy. And he did. And we have to have that kind of belief, that kind of determination that, yes, I believe God that he's going to fulfill what is necessary in my life, what is necessary in somebody else's life, that he will do those things. Again, not a hope, but a lively belief within us that just as if it is already done. When God says it, it's as good as done. It just might not happen when we want it to or in the time frame that we're looking for it to. But God will not come up short in any way. And so we need to have our belief very strong on him that we can ever put ourselves into his hands. I'm just going to read one other, turn to it anyway. In the first chapter of Luke, and you're familiar with this story. I even alluded to it a couple of weeks ago. But when Mary was with child, and the angel had come and assured her after she had questioned the angel, she said, "Well, how can this be? I hadn't known a man." And he talked about that she was to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and that she would conceive, and this would, of course, be the Son of God. And the angel had told her, "With God, nothing is impossible." This is the 37th verse. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So here she said, "All right, you've told me it's going to happen. This is what God said. This is what God's going to do. So just let it be." And so she just believed it was going to be that way. Well, then she went to her cousin Elizabeth, who was carrying John the Baptist about 6 months earlier than Jesus. And she told Mary, or she told Elizabeth, what the angel had told her. And John the Baptist is still in the womb of Elizabeth, leaped. And then the 45th verse, Elizabeth said this, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." So she's saying, blessed or happy is she being Mary that believed. Mary believed what the angel said. She said, "Okay, if that's the way it's going to be." Now, that'd be a pretty scary thing, I would think, now for a young woman to have this angel come and say, "Now you're going to have a child." And she said, "Well, you know, how's that going to work?" And he just explained it to her. And she said, "Okay, if that's the way it's going to be, if that's what God wants, then that's what I'll do." And then when she went and told Elizabeth said, "Well, blessed is the one that heard." You heard and you believed. You know, how strong is our belief? How great is our belief that God will perform that which he says he will do? Will we stand on it and be standing on it when everybody's against us? You know, one of the things that I think about in coming here, I appreciate every one of you that is saved, but I see a lot of empty seats. I like to see these seats full. And I know you would too. You'd like to have people coming in. And that is a hope and an expectation that we might have. But do we really believe God will perform that? There's people out here that are going about their lives, many of them not knowing other than just taking a step by step, trying to get by day, that don't know about Jesus. Just like the disciples when they were sent out two by two, there being some that don't listen. And they just knock the dust off their feet and go on to the next. There's going to be some that might listen a little bit, but they're just like the sowing the seeds. You know, some just, they might pay attention a little bit, but then they soon wither away. Or they say, "Oh, it's just not for me." But you keep sowing, and some seeds are going to get in good ground. And there's going to be somebody that says, "I want to know more about what you're talking about." And they might come in the doors and they might listen. Or they might open up their home to be able to go in and talk to them. And there's some that seed's going to plant in their heart. And through our prayers and through our testimonies and through our efforts, we can water them and cultivate them. And then watch God give the increase that people get saved and then another seed is filled. And that person may have family somewhere close by that they bring in. And somebody else, I don't know how it might work, but I'm looking for the seats to get full. And I hope and pray that God gives me the grace to have the belief strong enough to see that fulfilled. How much do we believe God when whatever circumstance of life comes our way that we have to deal with? By standing on the deck of a ship that was reeling to and fro and about to be torn apart because of the waves, would I stand there and believe God that I was going to be okay? I hope that I would, because God's grace is sufficient no matter what the problem is. I trust that God will continue with us and be with us. It was said last Sunday, and while I was eating, that not to expect a service like that every Sunday. And in the reality of our minds, we know we don't have services like that every Sunday. I'll tell you, I expect one every Sunday. Every time that we come together, God has a blessing. Now, it might not be a shouting service. It might not be a testifying service. But God has something for us every service we get together that helps strengthen us, that helps encourage us, or helps give us just what we need to face something that's coming up later. Every time that we come together, God's got a blessing for us. Now, the blessing might be that he gives us a whipping. If you really love God and love his cause, you'll take the whipping and get corrected for whatever it is that might be necessary, and then go on and serve him better. And then he'll pour out the blessings on us. But he will give us something every time we get together if we come and submit ourselves to his care and let him just do what he wants to do with us. And he'll be a blessing. To help us, it can be the blessing like we had last Sunday that just gives it to us right then. Or it can be something that takes a while to build in us before that we see the results of what God has for us. And one thing that, and this is always kind of a preaching to the choir type thing, because I tell it to those of you that are here. But the Hebrew writer told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Already at that time, there were some that said, well, I don't need to go every Sunday. I don't need to get with them all the time. But when we miss being in the house of God, those that weren't here last Sunday missed the blessing that we had. That's what kept me going before I was called to preach, is that I was afraid if I didn't go, I'd miss the blessing. The time I wasn't there, it's always been to have the big teardown this spring. So I wanted to make sure I was there when it came. So let us encourage one another. And let us plan. What we expect is pretty much what we're going to get a lot of times. If we don't expect much from God, we're not going to get much from him. But if we expect it, I'll close with this little story. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great Baptist preacher, we can call him that. He was well known in London, England, back in the 1700s. He pastored the London Memorial Tabernacle Baptist Church. Had about 5,000 members. They said he could call every one of them by name. Well, that blows my mind there. But he was such a dedicated man. I'd put him not too far down the line from Apostle Paul, I guess. He averaged during his ministerial life of 50 some odd years, he averaged preaching 8 times a week. both at church services. There was a school that he would go and teach and preach in. He would go and have funerals and whatever. But anyway, he said he averaged preaching 8 times a week. Many people got saved. And there was a preacher friend of his, a pastor to another church in London, came and talked to him. They were sitting down in his study, and he asked him. He said, you know, what's the difference? He said, you know, I've tried to be faithful to the Lord, and I've had success in the ministry, but I said, nothing like what you've had. You know, so many people have been saved. So many people are added to the church here. And I said, you know, what's the difference? And Brother Spurgeon asked him, he says, well, do you expect somebody to get saved every time you preach? He said, well, no, I know that's not going to happen. He said, well, that's the difference, I do. And whether it was a funeral, he preached his wife's funeral, some people got saved. And he said every time that he preached, because it's the Word of God, and he expected somebody to get saved. He expected it to be a help to somebody. He expected it to direct somebody. He expected it to do something to help strengthen the cause of God. And that's the kind of belief that we need to have. You know, we make the excuses that, well, it's, you know, because we're human, it's not going to happen now. But we need to expect it to happen. We need to expect good things of the Lord, that he's going to bless us when we get together. And you know, when the blessings start coming more and more, then people start getting these kind of feelings like, well, I'm missing out, I'm not there. And so they'll start coming. On the day of Pentecost, there was just about 120 of them gathered together there. But the Lord came in such spirit, and they didn't go out in the streets and invite them in. The Spirit was just there so strong that they began to shout and rejoice. And at least that's my expectation, based on what was said. I said, well, these folks act like they're drunk here at 9 o'clock in the morning. And people started coming in from the streets to see what it was about. And it kept on and it spread out. And then somebody would go out and tell us, boy, something going on down there. And so people started coming in to see what it's about. You know, when there's coldness out there and somebody's got a fire, somebody's going to come try to get some warmth through it. And that's what happens when we believe God and let his power work with us. And I trust that God's power will be with us, because it's not lacking. Oh, we look back and we say, wish it was the way it used to be, Rob, about those great revivals and about, you know, all these things that happened in the past. The same God is here today. But we as his people maybe are not where the people were many years ago, or years ago that we can even remember. And I can see that because of the way that our lives have gone, that we have so many more things to have to think about. You know, you can get behind a mule and plow all day long and think about the Lord. You know, it's just kind of automatic when you're doing it. You know, I worked in a factory one time, and part of what I was doing, it was so repetitious that I could just pray and I could sing and I could do whatever. I just, you know, went through the motions of doing the job, but I had my mind on the Lord. But so much of what we have to do today, we have to be thinking about other things, and we can't put our mind on the Lord. Well, we can't stop and just pray when we want to every time, or at least we don't feel like we can. We're afraid we're going to get fired if we do. You know, but we still have a prayer in our heart. That's why Apostle Paul said to pray without ceasing. We need to constantly have a prayer in our heart and on our mind, and be just constantly talking to the Lord whenever we have those opportunities, and just make the opportunities sometimes is what we have to do. And I'm rambling on more than I meant to. But I believe God. And I ask that you pray for me, that my belief will be where it should be. And I'll pray for you, that your belief will be where it should be. And if we can believe God together, oh, how powerful it will be for this community. May God help us to do whatever he gives us. And whatever he promises us, he will perform. And let us believe him in that. Let's have a song. If there's somebody here that's lost, this altar's always open. And I preach to the lost, but still, if God works on the heart of a lost person, you don't have to have the preacher preaching on it. If God's working on your heart, then this altar's open for it. It's a good place to come bow and seek the Lord. And as we stand and sing, let's come together and shake hands. Let's covenant with each other as God's children. And as members of Faith Church, that we're going to do all that we possibly can.
know, Sam, all that we can possibly do is not enough, but with the help of the Lord, he can take it and make it into something great. May God bless you in your efforts of serving him. And let us work together to lift him up.
Turn to page number 31. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Indeed, the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear.
Have any of those
tests and love. And we do have our personal wants, and that they might not be anything wrong with them in the right circumstances. But if it's something that interferes with the Lord's work, then it becomes sin to us. The Bible tells us that if we know to do right and we don't do it, it's sin to us. So,
you know, finish that story, Brother Ben. They called back and wanted us to call on Thursday night. We took that one.
I bet he worked it out. Yeah.
Story time or two. I'm against this friend who involved me. I don't like to tell it because I don't even break the wrong idea about it. Again, before I was called to preach, there was a missionary came to the Hendersonville Church, and he told his story. He'd been wounded in the Guinea. He had limped and he got shot with a poison arrow. And the church was taking an offering for him. And I worked at that factory. I was talking about an assembly line thing at the time. I wanted to give it so I can give something. I'm a billfold now. And I have $1 bill, $3 bills. And I thought, well, you know, I got to eat on that $20 bill this week. But, you know, I can buy a little can of tuna fish and something else and take with me and make food on that, but I'm going to have to eat on that. I don't know why I can give that $3. It came my heart in between. And I had to stand there and look at it. And when the plate came around, I had to pull 20 out of the thing. And I was already thinking about how I could scrimp and save and get by that $3 with what I had at my house. I could get a peanut butter, something, make a sandwich, whatever. But I think a paycheck ought to come in later in the week, and just didn't have it. And Monday, when I got into work, I watered the garden for like a better family, maybe or something at work. And I think Monday, when I got in the mail, I got a card from a lady that said, "I've been thinking about you." And she sent me a check for $50. Now that check was already in the mail, but I didn't know that. And God knew what my needs were, but He also knew the willingness of my heart. And when you follow the Lord, He has ways to take care of it. And as simple as that was, that was a good lesson for me as a young man. That if you do what the Lord wants you to do, He provides. And I'm so thankful for that. That one little incident, a lot of others have come along over the years, and helps me to believe when God says something, just do it. And He'll make sure it comes around. He wants it.
Good night.
they would come out of the ground like those. It'd be made coming with the persecution was great. Brother Russell said it one of his servants one time. He said, if you want to see our churches fill up and grow and expand and really get on fire, just let the persecution come on the people. The way the world's going down. And so the book of Amos, the Bible says, the Lord has his ways in the whirlwind and the storms. And he does. He has control of everything. And I believe we're getting much closer to the end than people really realize. I see things going on and things are happening. It's not looking good. That's when the revival will start coming. So I believe we've got to start at this point. If we start looking and believe what the Lord says, maybe what he has told us, that we should start growing and getting bigger than ours. I hear more people, more news, where people are expressing their opinion as to the men's sin. And most of the modern people, they really don't really know, but you and they can see that if you listen to people closely, we really can't do it. You really need to start working hard. I know I will.
The church has always prospered under persecution. We don't want persecution to have to come for us to prosper. But if we have things going real well, then we tend to get lax in service to the Lord. And so he has to chastise, whether it be individually or as a church or as the Christian kingdom, if you would. Get busy and do what he wants us to do. We don't have to suffer the persecution, Lord, hopefully. We might get caught up in the general persecution, but I'm still guilty of that's the efforts that we make. Anyone there?
One more thing. You said that in your sermon, you were talking about exercising that faith and believing God. And the people that go into persecution, I've heard lots of people live. We don't have the strength to suffer and stand it, persecution. But God will give us that strength to stand and even give our lives to Him when the time comes. It won't be us in our strength. We do not. You know, the body does not have it. It doesn't matter. But God will give us that strength. Amen. He will get us through.
I believe that. I appreciate your attention and your participation, and look forward to even greater times together. Our service at 6 o'clock for Bible study on this evening. Hope that you all can come back all possible for you too. And I look forward to that. Y'all kind of spoiled me. I got to been thinking, what are we going to have dinner? But maybe they will let me rest a while before you spray it over again. But thank you so much for your love that you've shown to Linda and I. And we just look forward to growing together. Everybody feels peace in your hearts. Stand with Jesus Christ. Brother Gallus, would you pray this for us?
Gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to come to our house of worship. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the good message we have heard today. Bless this message. Bless Heavenly Father, each and every member of our church, of all the churches around the world that are standing to lead your true churches. Yes, sir.